Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's rock and roll. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you tweet me at Zach Gelb on Twitter. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Let me know how you're listening to us tonight, and we'll shout you out by the end of the show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Had Isaac Bruce on earlier in the program. Really enjoyed that conversation. He wants to see the Los Angeles Rams at least bring in Antonio Brown for a workout. He'd be all on board if they did sign him. We also were joined earlier by Tyler Medakevich. We've been talking a lot about the race for the eighth spot in the NBA playoffs in the Western Conference. We already know Memphis is in the 8-9 playing game. The Suns have been undefeated in the bubble. They won today, obviously. They're a perfect 8-0, and it all comes down to Portland. About the tip-off, it's Brooklyn and it's Portland. If Portland wins, they're in against Memphis. If Portland loses, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and company, Terry Stotts, you're going home. And then the Suns will go up against the Grizzlies in the 8-9 matchup for the playing game. So far, we know all the matchups besides that Lakers and Memphis or Suns or potential even Portland matchup. Sorry about that. As we got the Bucks and the Magic, Raptors and the Nets, Celtics and the Sixers, Heat going up against the Pacers. And in the West, it will be the Clippers and the Mavericks, Nuggets and the Jazz, and Thunder and the Houston Rockets. So I do think Portland wins tonight. I think Portland wins big tonight, and we'll see Damian Lillard go up against Ja Morant. All right, let's get to a little onsides, offsides. Let's roll.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Now hold on a second. We actually got some breaking news here. This is a pretty substantial quote. So the Spurs are not making the postseason this year, as their streak of 22 years of making the playoffs has come to a close. After the game, there's been a lot of speculation about Greg Popovich and his future. Stu, have you seen the tweet yet about Greg Popovich?
I have not, no.
Okay. Do you think he's retiring or do you think he's coming back?
I would guess he's retiring is what I would guess.
No. Okay. He is coming back. Now, will he be coming back to coach the Spurs? That's the question. Could he potentially be joining Sean Marks and Mikey B is just getting all excited just thinking about this? And the Brooklyn Nets. Greg Popovich was asked after the game on if he's going to coach next year, and he said, quote, "Why wouldn't I?" I'm sure he gave a great look at the reporter on Zoom, whoever did ask that question. So breaking news, Greg Popovich will be coaching next year. I do personally believe he's not going to be coaching the Nets. I think it would be a smart move by him, because I don't think the Spurs have any future right now. after having to replace Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, all those guys no longer there, and Kawhi Leonard too. Well, Duncan's still there. He's just on the coaching staff. I do think Pop will stay, but if I was Pop, why not go join the Brooklyn Nets and get the coach Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? All right, without further ado, let's get to onsides, offsides. Stu, what do you got for us today?
All right, so there is a lot of intrigue surrounding the Arizona Cardinals this season with all their offensive weapons and Kyler Murray behind center. The second-year quarterback has some big goals and is planning to spread the wealth in 2020. Murray told reporters today that he thinks wideouts Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk can all hit 1,000-plus yards receiving this year. He said, quote, "I definitely think that's possible," end quote. Onsides or offsides, Fitzgerald, Hopkins, and Kirk will all hit 1,000-plus yards receiving in 2020.
All right, I'm pretty optimistic on this offense, as I even told Isaac Bruce in the last segment, in the last hour. 1,000 yards each. And I think Christian Kirk is a good player. Last year, DeAndre Hopkins had over 1,100 yards. Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think last year he had over 1,000. Let me just double-check that real quick. He had 804. The last year he had 1,000 yards receiving was actually going back to 2017 when he put up 1,100 yards. And Christian Kirk, he had a good season last year. I think he's very underrated. And notice a guy that is going to be in a Pro Football Hall of Famer in Isaac Bruce, he even said he thinks he's going to have a huge year. Kirk last year had 68 receptions for 709 yards. So I'm going to expect when you bring in, like if you would have said two of them 1,000, potentially. But to say all three, now when you have Hopkins, Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk being 1,000 yards receivers each, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I believe that the Cardinals' offense will be good. Defense going to have some problems this year. They'll put up a lot of points. However, you got to spread out the ball. You also have Kenyon Drake as a running back, too. 1,000 yards for each of them. I'm going to say no on this one, so I go offsides.
Offside.
You think that's a shot, Stu?
Not likely. Maybe like 20%, 15%. That's a lot. That's hard to have three guys do that. I would say two.
I tell you, let's say Hopkins has 1,100, 1,200 yards, you think that's fair, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald, if he gives you 700, 800 yards, you think that's like in the right ballpark, correct?
At this stage of his career, yes, absolutely.
And for Christian Kirk, what, 800, 900 yards?
Right, so maybe one of those two somehow reaches 1,000 barely.
But not all three.
But not all three, no.
And when you have three guys there, you're going to spread the ball out. So if you think the target this year, like even if you say Christian Kirk could be a 1,000-yard receiver, you could take 100, 150 yards off potentially and just miss out because there's going to be some games where DeAndre Hopkins is leading the way. There's going to be some games that Larry Fitz is going to be leading the way. And there's going to be some games that Christian Kirk is leading the way. So all three, 1,000. No, maybe two for 1,000. I could listen to that. And, you know, if that was the question, I think it would be a different answer potentially. But what do you got for number two?
All right, Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard has been the talk of the NBA bubble over the past week with his sparkling play and incredible stats. In Portland's Tuesday night win over the Mavs, he dropped 61 points. Dame is just 30 years old and is turning heads with his play and confidence. A player that would have been fun to watch in the bubble is Warriors guard Steph Curry, but he, of course, is not playing because of the Warriors' terrible season. Curry is a two-time MVP that just played five games this past year because of injuries and the pandemic. The six-time All-Star will be 33 in March. Onsides or offsides, you would rather have Damian Lillard over Steph Curry for the next five seasons.
I think the Warriors are going to be damn good once again next year. I think they could be the third best team in the West next year. Remember, you get Steph back, you get Klay back. Draymond Green's not going to have to be the number one guy there like he was this past year, which is just absolutely ridiculous when Draymond's being your number one. And Andrew Wiggins is there, and I think that will be a trade, even though I like D'Angelo Russell better, that Andrew Wiggins will have a nice role with the Golden State Warriors. Plus, you're going to have a very early draft pick. Now, you could move that and get a player, or you could draft whoever you want in this upcoming NBA draft. So I do believe the Warriors are going to be good, but you're asking me an individual player. If you ask me next year, would I rather have Damian Lillard or Steph Curry? I personally, even coming off the injury, would rather have Steph Curry. For the next 5 years, though, with all these injuries and all these bumps and bruises that Steph Curry has gone through, and with the ankle being a problem and all that, and then the injury that he suffered this year, too, Yeah, for five more years with Lillard being younger and both being great players, I would rather have Damian Lillard, not just for next season. If it was that, once again, I'd go Steph over Lillard. But for the next 5 years, I would go with Damian Lillard because of the injury problems that Steph Curry has been experiencing. So I go on sides with this one, Damian over Steph for the next 5 years.
All right, as we discussed yesterday on the show, ESPN tried to get Rams head coach Sean McVay off the sidelines and into the booth for Monday Night Football. The Rams signed McVay to an extension last season after he reached the Super Bowl in his second season at the helm, keeping him in Los Angeles through at least 2023. The two current NFL head coaches that have some experience as color commentators are Bruce Arians with CBS and Jon Gruden, who himself was on Monday Night Football. Onsides or offsides, the current NFL head coach who would make the best Monday Night Football analyst is Sean McVay.
This is a great question. This is a really great question. I think Sean McDermott, who just got an extension, would be good, but I don't think he'd be better than Sean McVay. Belichick, see, Belichick, you would agree Belichick did a great job in the NFL Top 100 show, right?
Tremendous. I was surprised how good that he was in that. Absolutely.
And if Belichick's job is to talk, I think he'd be very good at it, like it was in the NFL Top 100. So I think Belichick would be awesome in the booth. Other coaches, I think Andy Reid would be good in the booth. Anthony Lynn, I think, would be good in the booth. John Harbaugh would be good in the booth. Other than that, oh, Mike Vrabel would be excellent. He would be sensational. And then the NFC, who's the coach that Pete Carroll, I think, would be good. Sean Payton probably would be very good. And I think Matt Rhule would be good in the booth, too. I think McVay would be a great analyst. He reminds me a lot like Gruden. I can't say he would be the best. You know, I would go Belichick, and I think he'd be a little bit more exciting than what he does in his press conferences. And really, Vrabel would be excellent. So I'm going to go offsides on this one, that McVay would be the best.
Offside.
Next one.
All right, Justin Fields, has tremendous NFL potential.
Yeah, what's going on with our voices in this segment?
I don't know.
First me, then you. We're getting contagious here.
Oh, boy. That's not good. Well, Justin Fields.
Not the way that sounded.
No.
It's probably not the right thing to say during this climate, but my voice was cracking, then Stu's voice starts cracking. All right, continue before I get fired.
Justin Fields has tremendous NFL potential after his Heisman candidate-worthy 2019 season with Ohio State. However, the Big Ten, along with the Pac-12, canceled their fall football seasons with the hope of playing in the spring. It remains to be seen if it can be done and what Fields will ultimately do this upcoming season. He could play in a potential spring season and then enter the NFL draft or opt out entirely and prepare now. Fields was projected to enter his final collegiate season anyway in 2020. Onsides or offsides, Justin Fields has played his last game for Ohio State.
Here's the thing, though. And we found out today that Nebraska's not going to leave the conference. And I know Justin Fields plays for Ohio State. If you're a Big Ten school, unfortunately, you're not going to be playing in the fall. If you're Justin Fields, even if they say to you, oh, you have spring football, how do we know when they start that it's going to line up and be okay where you could still go to the combine? If there is a combine, you could still go to an individual workout with teams and be done by time of the draft. Justin Fields has absolutely played his last game for The Ohio State University, assuming they don't just jump to another conference, which I don't anticipate happening, because if you do that, then you're leaving the Big Ten for good. So for Justin Fields, you have a decision to make. Do you want to stay at the university and then hope to play in a spring season and risk getting hurt, and then that could affect your draft stock? Right now, you're the second quarterback off the board. It's Trevor Lawrence, and then it's you. If someone makes a trade or if someone needs a quarterback at the second overall pick and someone did take a quarterback with the first overall pick, for example, let's say, I don't know, you got the Jaguars at one and then you need another team that has a quarterback in two, three, four, or five, you're going in the first five picks. So you're going to play the spring season, if there even is a spring season, which I'm still skeptical about, for just the love of the game? No, you're not. You're going to make a business decision. It's the right decision. It's the only decision. You're done at Ohio State. It's unfortunate. Would have loved to see more than 1 year of Justin Fields on a football field for Ohio State, but there's too much to risk. So you have played your last game with Ohio State on sides. This is 190, 200, 400, 500, 600, 700, 1,000% that Justin Fields has played his final game for the Ohio State on sides.
All right. No Major League Baseball player has maintained a 400 batting average over a full season since Hall of Famer Ted Williams did so. That could potentially change this year as Rockies star Charlie Blackmon is batting 427 through 18 games. And as John Heyman points out on Twitter, assuming Blackmon stays on a 4 at-bat per game pace, he needs to hit just 360 the rest of the way. Onsides are offsides. If Charlie Blackmon hits over 400, it should have an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, of course. I'm not a big asterisk guy. But with that being said, if you tell me someone hits 400, you go, oh, wow, what an accomplishment. Now, it's still an accomplishment over 60 games, but it's only 60 games. I hate to diminish it, but when you think hitting 400, you think of doing so in 130, 140, 150, 162 games. People could have two hot months, two insanely hot months. If you tell me, though, that Charlie Blackmon hits 400, when you go back in the record book, sure, it will be listed, but you have to put the asterisk there that this happened over a 60-game season, or else it's extremely misleading, and you think Charlie Blackmon hit 400 in a 162-game season. Now, here's the thing I would be interested in, and it still would not count as the way that we would view it if it was done over 100-something games, but if you take the 60 games this year, I would love to see where he is at the 100-game mark next year to then see what the average would have been over the timeline of 162 games. So good for Charlie Blackmon. He is red hot. But to think that hitting 400, which is, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably going to happen because right now he's actually, this season, you said 427? Is that what you said?
That is what I said, yes.
The number in front of me says 472 on Baseball Reference. Now, he had 314 last year, 291 in 2018, and 331 in 2017. So if he's at four, if that number's right in Baseball Reference in front of me at 472, then, yeah, he's going to hit over 400, but it's not going to be viewed the same way as hitting 400 would, if you would think about that traditionally. So should it have an asterisk, then yes, onsides. And that is the onsides, offsides portion of this program. Once again, make sure you tweet me on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, and we would love to shout you out, and your local affiliate would love to know how you're listening to our program. We will take a break here. Dave McGinnis is going to join us next. We'll preview a team that was in the AFC Championship game a year ago. That's the Tennessee Titans. We'll chat a little Titans football next. First and Goal continues on the Zach Gelb Show, back in five.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders in 2020? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, today we preview the Tennessee Titans. We do so with former Arizona Cardinals head coach, former Tennessee Titans linebackers coach, now a radio analyst for the Titans, and that's Dave McGinnis. Coach, appreciate you doing this. Hope all is well. And when we look at Tennessee right out of the gate, they surprised a lot of people last year. I was optimistic about them going into the season. I didn't think they would get to an AFC Championship game, though. How do you think they will look after the success that they had last year with now nobody sleeping on Tennessee?
Yeah, Zach, it's great to hear from you, brother. You know, this was a fun team last year. And really, this football team under Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, you know, with owner Amy Adams Strunk, they showed a lot of grit last year. I coached in this league for 31 years, and I know what a roller coaster ride a National Football League season can be. And when you start off 2-4, you put yourself in a hole anyway. And four of those losses, you know, they were big AFC losses. So they were in a huge hole. And Mike Vrabel made one of the tougher decisions that any head coach has to make. He pulled his starting quarterback. you know, and one that was on his fifth-year option and had been a former number one draft pick, you know, here with the Titans, to replace him with Ryan Tannehill. And he made that move, and this football team grabbed a hold of that move. It was a bold move, and then the Titans started to play like a bold football team. And from that point on, after that Denver game, they really started rolling. They got the running game rolling. Arthur Smith, as a first-year offensive coordinator, Zach, did a tremendous job of mixing his veterans and his rookies in. Derrick Henry, you know, once we got Taylor Lewan back from that four-game suspension, he and Roger Saffold got solidified on the left side of that offensive line. And that run towards the end of the year, you know, we had put ourselves in such a hole with that early record that every game was like a playoff game for about five games going into the end of the season. So it was really a lot of fun. And those two playoff wins at New England and at Baltimore, those were really special.
Is there any concern with the success and the unexpected success that they had last year that maybe some complacency will settle in here?
Not at all, Zach. This is a very grounded football team. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, they're not about a lot of fluff and flash. They're about some real solid principles that go on. They get people in here that really, really like ball. They've got smart football players. And Mike Vrabel, you know, the championships that he won there at New England, his success not only as a player, but then once he got into the coaching profession in this league, he understands the daily grind of it. You know, all the years that I was coaching, you know, when I first started out way back in 1986 with Mike Ditka and the Bears, I mean, I was told real early on in my early coaching career in the league that every day is an interview for coaches and players. And so Mike Vrabel is not going to let them get complacent at all. That's a word that won't touch this team one bit, Zach.
Let's get to the next down. All right, Coach Dave McGinnis, when we look at the Titans, you talked about it. Ryan Tannehill came off the bench last year, and he had an impressive season. He was the comeback player of the year in the National Football League. Tell me why you're a believer in Ryan Tannehill and why that was the right move to give him a four-year contract extension.
You know, Zach, you know, vetting him coming out, you know, I've done every draft since 86, and you like the athletic ability, but what you really liked when you started digging on him was his competitive nature. And he's a very cerebral player. You know, he was an 88-game starter at Miami, and really, you know, it could be said that he was starting to have one of his better years when he got hurt. And you know as well as I do, you've been around the National Football League a long time, just like I have. A lot of times, especially for a quarterback in this league, it takes some time seasoning not only to play quarterback, but also to get into the right situation. When he came here and agreed to be a backup and coming here and embrace that backup role wholeheartedly, he endeared himself to this locker room with his approach to it as a backup and also just with his mental approach and his mental toughness. You know, he gave Marcus Mariota full support, but you could tell that there's a real fire that was burning inside of him. And he's not a guy, he doesn't operate, you know, he's not a real up and down guy. He really isn't. Very even keeled, but very, very smart. He's a very nice mix with Arthur Smith, you know, who is also not a real boisterous guy. Arthur Smith is a real low key guy, but has got really, really nice football intelligence. They're a nice mix. You know, Ryan Tannehill has got the personality. I've been around a lot of quarterbacks in all of my years in this league, and he's got that even-keel personality, but he's a fiery, fiery competitor underneath all of that, and that gives confidence to your football team.
Do you think there was ever a chance they were going to move on from Ryan Tannehill? They were linked to Brady, but that obviously never happened. Even before free agency started, they inked the deal with Ryan Tannehill. Was Brady actually ever seriously in play because of the Vrabel connection?
Well, I think the Vrabel connection was very real, and of course, you know, it clearly had to be a talking point just because of their connection and the fact that Tom Brady, for the first time in his storied career, was going to be a free agent. But Ryan Tannehill pretty well established himself here, and with the contract they were able to get him under, both he and Derrick Henry, I think they made a really good move there for the future.
Let's get to the next down. Coach Dave McGinnis previewing the Tennessee Titans here with us on CBS Sports Radio. When we get to Derrick Henry, he was unbelievable. He's been unbelievable the last two seasons, had a slow start to his career. What's been the difference the last 2 years for Derrick Henry, the Alabama Heisman Trophy winning player?
You know, everybody around here talks about, we went to London to play the Chargers, And he really felt like after that game, he was disappointed in himself. First thing you got to understand about Henry, he's not only a physical talent, this guy's a real competitor. I've been fortunate enough in my career on teams I was coaching to have been around some great, great performers at that running back position. And one thing they all have, you know, is a tremendous inner sense of pride in what they do, and they set real high standards for themselves. I was at the Bears with Peyton. I had Emmitt Smith at the Cardinals, you know, when the Cowboys let him go. I've been around some great ones there. And what here's what he does. Look, things weren't going real well for him. He sought out some advice from some people. You know, and it's been well documented here that, you know, Eddie George is still very connected to this Tennessee Titans football team. And he sought out Eddie George because, I mean, that's a big back that was a power back for a lot of years, you know, for this franchise, and ask Eddie just, you know, unabashedly, what did he see? He took it to heart what he said. And then plus, he's a worker. He's a worker in the off season, and he's a worker in practice. I'm at practice every day during the season. I watch him work. And then I think what really helped, too, is they made some additions to that offensive line. And once Taylor Lewan came back from that four-game suspension and the addition of Roger Saffold, outside zone is geared to him because he can make – he's a long-legged runner, but he can make that quick downhill cut. And then the other thing that's beautiful about him is he can not only run over you and through you to move the chains. If he gets out in the open, he can run away from you. And then that stiff arm that he's got, that's deadly.
I think Earl Thomas is still having some nightmares about Derrick Henry from that playoff game. With Derrick Henry, he had 303 rushing attempts last year. I know they drafted the running back out of Appalachian State, Evans, in the third round. How many, if they play a full season, which that's still up in the air, how many carries do you look for Henry to have this season?
Well, I think he'll have as many as he needs. I mean, I don't think he's wearing down at all. You know, you got to remember at Alabama, he was trading carries off then. But Darrington Evans, that you mentioned out of App State, I'm glad you did, Zach, because this is the guy, don't get it confused. You know, I vetted him, you know, coming out too in the draft. And when you watch him at App State, first of all, he's a very accomplished outside zone runner. I mean, this is a guy, he's not just a little scat back. He knows how to read the zone, outside zone, when to make the cut. He can stick his foot in the ground, but he's got speed. He's got speed that he can break away with, but he is an excellent, excellent route stem runner out of the backfield. He's going to add a nice dimension to this offense. But look, Derrick Henry, he set out one game last year with a strained hamstring, and they just about had to tie him to the bench to make him miss that game.
Let's get to the final down. When you look at this division, Texans, Colts, Titans, those are the three teams people are talking about. The Jaguars are going to be really bad this year. How do you rank those three teams right now?
Well,
we know where your heart is.
my heart's with the Titans. I mean, I coached here for 8 years with some really good years here, you know, the linebacker coach and assistant head coach. And then, you know, this is my 12th year here in Nashville. But let's take the Titans out of it since you and I are talking. I really like what the Colts have done because I think Phillip Rivers, the landing spot for him, he's never had an offensive line in front of him like he has now at Indy. They've got a tremendous offensive line. They've got two really good running backs. They added Michael Pittman Jr., you know, there as a receiver to go along with T.Y. Hilton. I really like what they're doing. And defensively, they are a sneaky, nasty defensive football team. It's always been a battle. All the years I coached here, we were battling Peyton Manning. Then all of a sudden, you know, luck comes along. I think this is a perfect landing spot for Phillip Rivers. Indy is going to be exceptionally, exceptionally tough. But what I don't want anybody to forget, you know, for your listeners is everybody talks about Houston. You know, sometimes they're a little worried about, you know, what the head coach is doing with some of his trade. They've won this division, you know, quite a bit in these last several years. So you can't sleep on any of those teams. You know as well as I do, Zach. Anytime you get into divisional play, anything can happen.
With the Texans, what I'm so curious about them, and you alluded to it with their head coach, Bill O'Brien, he's a good coach, but as a GM, man, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'd be scratching my head saying, you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins and you brought in a bunch of players who have been injury prone throughout most of their career. How does, you know, you being a former head coach, Dave McGinnis, when you have someone that you're maybe losing the trust in them or they're losing the trust in you, how do you win that player back?
Well, I'm not in their locker room, and I'm not at their facility, so I cannot speak on them losing trust. I do know this. Bill O'Brien's an excellent, excellent football coach. And you bring up the name Deshaun Watson. Let me tell you this. As a longtime defensive coach in the National Football League, as long as you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, you've got a chance. Because he is a difference maker, and he's not. And don't get it mixed up that he's just a guy that's going to get back there and stick his foot in the ground and then take off running when that first read's not there. This guy's an accomplished quarterback. Look, I can't say anything right now, and I would not say anything bad about Houston because they're the division champs here for several years running. For you to be able to say anything about the Texans, if you're in the AFC South, you better beat them first and make them quit being the AFC South champion.
Dave McGinnis, you always hit score a touchdown when you're on with us. Let me have you kick the extra point here. This is a season like we've never seen. Yes, you're trying to win football games, but you're also managing the health and safety of your players as well. If you were coaching, how would you process all this right now?
Well, I mean, you have to first of all rely upon your medical people, and of course, when all of this hit, I talked to all of my friends around the league. I know a lot of people, and you know, from the league office on down in this league, and everybody was really taking it one step at a time. The thing I'm proud that the league has done, they have stayed on track, they've stayed on course. When you see the preparations that these teams have made individually at their places as far as with this pandemic, it's incredible the things that they've done. The thing that you have to do, though, as a head coach, the first thing I would have talked to my guys once I got them back in person off of Zoom was talk to them about the discipline and the fact that you are accountable to everybody else. Because now you're not only accountable on the field, you're accountable off the field too. Because don't let some selfish thing that you do individually affect everybody else to a degree that none of us have ever seen before. I would talk to them about discipline and accountability to one another very, very early on and continue to push that point home. Because we all have a common opponent this year, and that's the COVID-19. We've got to beat that weekly.
Coach Dave McGinnis, I could talk football with you all day. Really do appreciate you giving us a little preview on Tennessee. And good luck, good health to you and your family.
Zach, same to you. Thanks, brother. Always great talking to you.
As well. All right, Dave McGinnis right there. Great stuff out of him. We'll get a little update in here. And when we come on back, it's time to ring that closing bell. You won't want to miss it today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
The first round of the Wyndham Championship was supposed to be today. It was suspended due to the inclement weather. I also got screwed today playing golf. I was on the seventh hole, and it started to just be absurd weather. We played through the rain last week. This time, you just couldn't play through this rain. But let me remind you, though, if we have good weather this weekend. This weekend on CBS, the PGA Tour is back on the course with the players teeing off at the oldest golf tournament in North Carolina, the Wyndham Championship. Live coverage begins Saturday at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific on CBS. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by our dear friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's ring the closing bell, please.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Zach Gelb was at Temple University, and I walk into a Hebrew culture class, and I sit down next to Deion Dawkins. Deion says, "Hey, what's your name?" I go, "Zach Gelb. Nice to meet you." He goes, "Hey, Zach, I'm Deion." I go, "Oh, yeah, I know. Like, I knew who he was because I covered the football team. But he goes, I'm Deion Dawkins, and I'm going to be playing in the NFL one day. So in that class, we actually, like, hit off a little bit of a friendship. Deion actually became an honorary brother of my fraternity, became a very close friend. And now he's done a tremendous job in the National Football League as a left tackle protecting the blind side of one Josh Allen. And today, as Deion Dawkins was entering the final year of his contract with the Buffalo Bills, it's what's going to be his final year, second round draft pick, and he's going into a fourth year in the league. He got a 4-year contract extension worth $60. That's crazy. Wasn't that long ago. I was in college. He was in college. Tremendous dude. As good a football player he is, he's really a better person. And it's good to see good people get rewarded with big, fat, lucrative contracts. So, Deion, congratulations. I'm sure you and Mama Doc's going to be celebrating tonight. We give you a stock up. San Antonio Spurs, for most of my life, they've been in the NBA postseason. A great dynasty that's already, you know, done. But really, when you look at them, you knew they didn't have another championship in them with Kawhi Leonard no longer there, with Tim Duncan now coaching, Manu Ginobili no longer there, and Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto and then eventually the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, tonight, an end of an era happened, and it was a streak. 22 straight playoff appearances. That streak is now snapped for the San Antonio Spurs, but we applaud them and we salute them for being such a great dynasty and going to the postseason 22 straight times in a row. Stock up to the San Antonio Spurs, even though it's an unfortunate night. How about the Phoenix Suns? No one thought they were going to be a factor in this bubble, right? Well, they were playing with house money, and that's dangerous. They may not get into the playoffs. They may not get into that 8-9 playing game. Right now, though, little optimism here. For them to get in, they need Portland to lose. It's early. 11 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Brooklyn Nets up 36-33. But to go 8-0 in the bubble is very impressive. Stock up to the Phoenix Suns. Stock up to Travis Kelce. Stock up to George Kittle. They got a whole lot of money today. They get contract extensions. The two best tight ends in football. Stock up. All right, let's get to the negative. Here's Zach Plesac talking about him now being away from the team because he broke certain rules. He left the team hotel, and he was going out with people, I guess, that he shouldn't have been going out with. He has not been happy with the media backlash that he's been facing. It was not only Zach Plesac, who I have in my fantasy team, by the way, and I picked him up, and he's been doing really well, so I don't appreciate him not doing something that wasn't smart to begin with, but it does hurt my fantasy team. I know nobody cares about your fantasy team, okay? All right, nobody cares. But him and Mike Clevenger both did, I guess they didn't break the rules because it's just suggested you don't leave the hotel, which that should change. But they lied to the team from what you hear, and then also you find out that what they did was not considered right, and I do agree with the Indians now having a harsh response to this. But here's Zach Plesac basically crying and wanting me to play him a small violin through all this whining and moaning that he's doing.
The media really is terrible, man. The media is terrible, and they do some evil things to create stories and to make things sound better, makes things sound worse. And truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation surrounding our team. Yeah, out in Chicago, we played the White Sox in a day or a couple days prior to leaving for this trip. The MLB came up with these new protocols that required a curfew and some other things that would keep us more isolated as baseball players and contain us more in like a bubble type sense. And after my start, I went out to dinner with some buddies. We ended up going back to his place, same group that we went to dinner with, and we opened up baseball cards, picked our top two dudes from each pack, we're throwing bets down, you know, just having a good time, hanging out. We broke curfew, I came back late, and I was reported by MLB security being out in public and coming back late to curfew, and the president of baseball operations decided to quarantine me for 3 days so that just in case, you know, if I was exposed to COVID, then it wouldn't spread to the rest of the team. 10 people or less is considered a very safe gathering, especially if you're 6 feet apart. And that entire night, dinner and hanging out at Buddy's place after, we were not with more than 8 people the entire night.
Well, you weren't supposed to leave, and you did break curfew. Stu, am I missing something here? Is this the media treating him like he's a monster, or just properly criticizing him?
No, I think he deserves everything that's coming his way, to be honest with you.
Now, when the whole situation happened with the Marlins, I thought Major League Baseball changed the rule. And maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong here. I thought they changed the rule on you now not allowing to go out. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But anyway, it's been discouraged to go out. You shouldn't have gone out when you're on the road. You know what happened with the Cardinals, allegedly, and then what happened with the Marlins, allegedly. Please, Zach, please, like, you messed up here. Don't try to be the sympathetic figure in this situation, because people won't have sympathy for you, so stock down. All right, let me get to Kima Sivirin. He was a little thirsty, let's say. He wanted to bring a female into the team hotel, so he dressed that female up, or instructed the female to get dressed up in all Seahawks gear to either make it look like she works for the team or was a player. Well, he got busted. He got caught doing that. And now he's out of a job. Stock down to Kima Sivirin. Stock down to Stephen Jones, by the way. I heard him speaking about why Dak Prescott didn't get a contract extension. He said, oh yeah, Dak's fired up with this year. We're still convinced more than ever a deal will get done. But the reason why this deal didn't get done is because of the coronavirus, you know, and the circumstances from the coronavirus. What? The reason why the deal didn't get done is because you wanted to give him a 5-year deal and Dak wanted a 4-year deal and Dak didn't budge. There's some things you can blame the coronavirus on. There's a lot you could blame the coronavirus on. For Dak Prescott's contract not getting done, yeah, you can't blame the coronavirus. So stock down to Stephen Jones. And then stock down to Nebraska. We're going to play football this year no matter what. Yeah, they're not leaving the Big Ten. Stock down, Nebraska.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell, sell!
And that's the Zach Yelp Show today on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly, before we run, this weekend or any day, please do not drink and drive. Unfortunately, I had a friend, Zach Turner, is one of the most positive people that I've ever met. His car got hit by a drunk driver, and he drives a big truck. I've been in the truck numerous times, and we actually did a road trip in that truck from Washington down to Portland and then back up to Wenatchee where he lives. And his truck got totaled, it flipped, and he broke a leg, and they he's lucky to be alive. So, you know, I don't want to get emotional here, but, you know, the guy is a great dude, and you hate to see that happen to anybody, let alone a close friend. So when I called Zach the other day, he's positive. He said, you know, everything's going to be okay. And he was actually, like, asking me about myself, which just shows you how great of a person he is. So please, 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 if you're drinking at any time, don't get behind the wheel, because not only can you hurt yourself, but you can hurt others as well. All right, that's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.